This is a download from the BBC. For more information about this and other downloads from School Radio, go to bbc.co.uk/schoolradio.
The Hare and the Tortoise.
"Look at me," said the hare to the other animals. "Just look how fast I can run." The hare ran across a field as fast as he could. All the animals agreed that, yes, the hare was very fast. The hare ran back. "See?" he shouted. "I'm not even out of breath."
"Yeah, that was fast," said the fox.
"So, who wants a race?" said the hare. "Anybody think they could beat me?" None of the animals spoke. "See," said the hare, "you're all too scared to even try."
I'll have a go," said the tortoise.
The hare laughed. "You? The slowest creature in the whole world? I'm not wasting my time racing a tortoise."
"What's the matter?" said the tortoise. "Scared I might beat you?"
Some of the animals laughed at that, so the hare said, "All right then, tortoise, let's have a race right now. Then we'll see who's laughing."
"Not today," said the tortoise. "We'll race next week. Got to do a bit of training first."
Next morning, the animals watched the tortoise do his training. First, he did some gentle stretching exercises to warm himself up. And then he started to run.
"Has he started running yet?" asked the fox.
"Hard to tell with tortoises," said the badger. "He's definitely moving."
"Is he?"
said the fox.
"Tortoise, are you sure about this?" said the crow.
"Don't worry," said the tortoise. "This is just day one. I'll speed up, you see."
On the day of the race, crowds of animals came to watch. The tortoise slowly made his way to the starting line, and then, suddenly, the hare arrived at top speed wearing a brand new tracksuit and four expensive-looking trainers.
"The race starts here," said the fox, pointing to a line on the ground, "and ends at that tree on the other side of the field. First one to touch the tree is the winner."
"Right, let's get on with it," said the hare. "Ready, tortoise? Ready to see some real speed?"
"I'm ready," said the tortoise.
"Ready, steady, go," said the fox, and the race began. The hare roared off, then stopped and looked back. The tortoise was still crossing the starting line. The hare ran back to the tortoise. "Didn't you hear him say go? You can start, you know."
"I have started," said the tortoise.
"Look," said the hare. "You're going so slowly, I'm going to have a rest. Might even have a little sleep. I'll finish the race when I wake up and still beat you by miles." The hare lay down in the sun and fell asleep. The tortoise kept going. Slowly, steadily, he moved across the field. And by evening time, he was getting close to the finishing tree. Still the hare slept on, and now the animals started to get excited.
"You know what? I think he might win," said a rabbit.
"I can't believe it," said the badger. "The tortoise might actually win." The animals started to get excited, and as the tortoise got close to the finishing tree, they started to cheer. "Come on, tortoise," they shouted. "Nearly there. Keep going, old friend, keep going." But the noise of the cheering crowd woke up the hare. He looked across the field, saw the tortoise about to reach the tree, and in a flash he was running. The
tortoise heard the hare thundering up behind him, but he kept going and going. And suddenly, he was there. Just in time, the tortoise touched the tree with his nose. He'd done it. The tortoise had beaten the hare fair and square.
There you go, said the badger. Slow and steady's sometimes better than fast and flashy.
Not fair, said the hare. I was asleep. We have to run the race again. It's not fair.
But no one was listening to the hare.
And the ox.
Mom! Mom! Come quickly! Called the little frog, hopping and skipping with excitement. Come and see the monster! He called. It's got two big spikes sticking out of its head and a funny brush thing at the other end, and it goes, "Ugh!" and it kicks frogs.
Not now, dear, said the little frog's mother.
Mother Frog looked more closely at the little one.
You're Stanley, aren't you?
No, Mum, I'm Zebedee.
Are you really? You all look so alike.
She had 247 children, and it is hard to remember that many names, so she called everyone Stanley to give her memory a rest.
Mum!
Cried Zebedee.
I haven't finished breakfast, dear.
The little frog hesitated.
Can I have some then?
No, Stanley, she said. You're not a tadpole anymore. Go and find your own slugs. And stop jiggling about. You're giving me a headache.
I'm not jiggling about. I'm hopping about.
Well, stop it. It looks like exercise and I can't be having that sort of thing. How would it be if I were to flip and flop about like you doing exercise? The little frog thought about it.
You wouldn't be so podgy, he said.
Exactly, said his mother. You don't get a jelly belly like mine by exercising. I get all the exercise I need chewing. Now, what's all the fuss about?
It's an ox and it's really gross and his shoes have split down the middle.
There are no such things as monsters, Stanley. And no creature in the pond is bigger than me.
But it is bigger than you, Mum. Lots bigger, I promise.
Right, said his mum. We'll see about that. I'll go with you. And if you're telling fibs, you'll have no worms for a week.
The damp hollow she sat in was home to a good assortment of slugs. But she had eaten too many of them. The big jelly belly she was so proud of made it difficult to get about. Now she could only half hop and flop and then stop. Hop, flop and stop until she was all tired out and could go no further.
Stop, Stanley.
You've only moved half a metre, Mum.
Far enough,
she wheezed. She took a deep breath and then she took a deep breath and then she took a deep breath.
Is the ox as big as this?
She asked. She sounded odd, because it's hard to speak, blown up like a beach ball.
Much bigger than that, said the little frog.
So she sucked in more air, and sucked in more air, and sucked in more air.
No, Mum, it's still bigger.
So she took in another breath, and... She shot into the air like an escape balloon that zips around the room making rude noises because you let go of the end. She yelled, looping the loop and fizzing off in all directions before crashing with a spectacular splash right in front of the ox. The ox looked bored with the whole thing. Water dribbled from his mouth. She called back to the little frog, a field and a half away.
Let that be a
you?
But the lesson was hers, really.
The Fox and the Crow. One morning, a fox was walking through the woods, looking for something tasty to eat for his breakfast, when his nose picked up a scent of something very interesting. He stood still and sniffed the air.
Cheese, he said. I smell cheese. Now, why would there be cheese in the middle of a wood like this?
The fox didn't have to wait long to find out, because there, sitting on a branch, high up in a tree, sat a crow. And in the crow's beak was the biggest piece of cheese he'd ever seen. Now, the fox loved cheese more than anything in the whole world, and he decided that come what may, he would have that piece of cheese for himself.
"Morning, Mr. Crow," he said. "Why don't you come down and have a little chat?"
The crow didn't reply. He just sat on his branch and looked down at the fox.
"He must think I'm stupid," thought the crow to himself. "That fox is after my cheese. If I fly down there, he'll jump on me and gobble me up first and then the cheese. Foxes can't climb trees, so I'll just sit up here and enjoy my piece of cheese."
The crow was just about to swallow his lump of cheese when the fox said,
"That cheese looks a bit mouldy to me. I wouldn't eat it if I were you. Mouldy cheese is very, very dangerous. You could easily get ill from bad cheese. If I were you, I'd be on the safe side and just drop that cheese right now."
"No," thought the crow. "I'm not falling for that. There's nothing wrong with this cheese. I found it fresh this morning. It smells wonderful, and I'm going to eat it right now."
The crow looked straight at the fox and waggled his piece of cheese as if to say, "Look what I've got. Aren't I the lucky one?" "Right," thought the fox. "This crow isn't quite as stupid as he looks. I'm going to have to try something else."
"You know, Mr. Crow," said the fox, "you really do have the most lovely feathers."
The crow smiled to himself. He was rather proud of his sleek black feathers. The fox was right. They were rather lovely.
"And your head," said the fox, "your head is very fine indeed. Makes you look fierce, but wise at the same time."
"Right again," thought the crow. "That fox knows what he's talking about, because I do look fierce, and I am very, very wise. And I bet you've got the most beautiful singing voice, too," said the fox. "I can tell just by looking at you. I mean, all crows are good singers."
The crow nodded.
"And I bet you're the best singer out of all the crows."
The crow nodded again.
"See, I can tell you're a great singer just by looking at you. How I'd love to hear you sing just once. That's all I ask. Just one little song would make me so happy."
The crow's mind was racing as the fox started to walk away.
"Oh, well, I see I'm not in luck today," sighed the fox. "Suppose I'll just have to go and listen to a boring old skylark or nightingale."
The crow thought to himself,
"The fox is right. I'm a wonderful singer. Much better than those boring nightingales. And larks, very overrated. I shall sing. I shall sing for the fox right now."
As the crow opened his beak and started to sing, the piece of cheese fell to the ground. The fox licked his lips.
"Thank you, Mr. Crow," he said. "You can stop singing now. That horrible sound's spoiling my breakfast." "But you said you love to hear a crow sing."
"Ho, ho, ho. Never believe what people tell you when they're trying to steal your cheese," said the fox.
And he winked at the crow as he gobbled up the last little bit.
Thank you.
the monkey as king. There was a huge competition in the Indian jungle, and the prize was to be king of the beasts. It was very exciting. To be king of all the beasts was a grand thing. When you were king, you got to wear a shiny crown, and all the animals had to call you sire. Of course, lots of animals entered the competition. Each animal got to say their piece on a big stage, while the other animals judged. The first up on stage was Fox. Fox was a very clever animal. He spoke very well about the rights of the people and the duties of the king. But he used such long words like fiscal and jurisdiction that most of the animals got bored and fell asleep. And, Fox said, never forget that there are many new traps around in the jungle. Traps laid by man to catch animals. Of course, there never was a trap made that could catch a fox. So this is my promise to you. If I am made king, I will educate each and every animal in avoiding these traps. Thank you. Fox went off the stage and was met by Monkey. Oh, 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 that was a fine and educated speech you just made, said Monkey. Well, thank you, Monkey, replied Fox, pleased. Yes, yes, very clever you are, Monkey carried on. But that is not what the animals want in a king. Watch this. He bounded onto the stage. Thank you, he shouted. It's great to be here. You know that fox is a very clever fellow, but poor fox, he's got no nose. How does he smell, I hear you ask? He smells awful. Oh, do you want to see me dance? Cried Monkey. Yeah, roared the audience. And Monkey danced. He frolicked and he pranced, and he capered and he danced. And what faces he pulled. Monkey was funny. The audience laughed and roared and held their sides. And that is how Monkey became king of the beasts. Oh, 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 well, Fox, he smirked, as he paraded up and down in his gold crown. Funny beats clever. Pah, said Fox angrily. We'll see about that. The next day, Fox saw Monkey lolling around in his throne with his golden crown upon his head. No hard feelings, sire, he said. You won fair and square, and I want to give you a present fit for a clever king. Oh, 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 said Monkey. Being king is boring work. Where's your present? It's a little way into the forest. Come with me. So Monkey and Fox set off into the forest together. Oh, oh, where is it, where is it? Said Monkey, getting excited. There it is, sire, said Sly Fox, pointing at a big, ripe banana on the jungle floor. Yum, yum, cried Monkey, and dived off to pick it up. Later that day, the animals were running around in confusion. Where's the king? They cried. Has anyone seen the king? At last they found him. He was sitting in a trap. Monkey held out his arms through the bars. Oh, 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 when I went to pick up a banana, this trap fell over me. Please get me out. But none of the animals knew anything about traps, except for Fox. Fox sat down and curled his long red tail around him. Fox, Fox, cried Monkey, please help me. The fox turned to look at the animals. Should a king be clever? Asked Fox. Yes, the animals cried. Does an animal that is clever fall into a trap? Asked Fox. The animals were silent. They looked at Monkey. You are a very foolish monkey, said Fox. I will get you out of the trap, but you must give up your crown. The king of the beasts should be an animal that is smarter than to fall into traps, don't you think? And all the other animals agreed.